The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory
to you, O Lord. When the days were completed for their purification, according to the laws of Moses, they took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it was written in the law of the Lord. Every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dedicate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in this child, Jesus, to perform the customs of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and glory for your people, Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There's also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we are here on this weekend to celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family, a feast day that is often missed by the celebration of Christmas. But feast days are important because it's a time to look at key examples of the figures of the Bible. And today we take time to look at St. Mary, St. Joseph, and the family that they had with Jesus, to look at the dedication that they had to serve the Lord, for the love of the Lord that they had, and to let that be a model for our faith life and for the life of our church. You see, Mary and Joseph at this time would have seemed like any other couple. Mary would have just been a very young woman, and Joseph would have been a few years older than her, and they were betrothed to be married. And then, what looked like a normal couple, things started to change for them. Change to the extraordinary. For to Mary, the angel Gabriel appeared to her, telling her that she was the chosen woman of God, to bear the Son of God and to give birth to him. And Mary, as many examples in the Bible, was afraid when the angel Gabriel first came to her to tell of this news. But she listened to the words of Gabriel when he said, "Do not be afraid." And with the news of this promise, Mary responded to Gabriel and to God, saying, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary took faith in the Lord. She trusted what it would mean for her to be this, that she would become the mother of God, the God-bearer. It was no small task, but Mary said yes, yes to God, to do what was given to her. And then comes Joseph, who hears about his wife Mary being pregnant. And Joseph is described as being a just man, a man who cares about Mary, not wanting to put her to shame. So he decides it's better for him to quietly leave her. But that night, he receives a dream, and in it an angel appears to him, telling Joseph to take Mary to be his wife, to name this child Jesus, for he is coming to save the people from their sins. And so Joseph does that. He takes Mary to be his wife. He takes Jesus to raise as his own. And just like Mary trusted in God, Joseph did the same to raise Jesus as his own. So then comes the task for Mary and Joseph of being this holy family, for Mary to be this mother of God, and for Joseph to raise the Son of God as his earthly father. It is no small task. They're just everyday people, but God chose them. He chose them to be his own, to be the family of his Son. And the task they took because they trusted in God's word, believed in it, and listened to what the words of the Lord were said. And then we hear through the events of story, of the story of Christmas, we see the start of this young family where they are sent to the town of Bethlehem to be counted in the census, and there Mary gives birth to Jesus, and by doing so fulfills the promises of the scriptures. And to anyone else that night, Jesus would have looked like any other child born that day. But in that tiny baby was the Son of God, God himself made flesh, the promise of the scriptures there in front of him. And that night, the angel host appeared to the shepherds, announcing this birth of the child, promising to them they would see the promised Messiah there. And so the shepherds left the field that night to come to see this holy family surrounding the small child. But then, just like us now, Christmas ends. The angelic hosts go back to their angelic duties. The shepherds leave and return to care for their flocks. And Mary and Joseph are left to care for this young child. They're left to care for him according to the laws and tradition that God has given his people. And the Holy Family does so. Because in a reading, we hear how Mary and Joseph arrive at the temple to prepare the sacrifice that was custom after a woman gave birth and to present their child to the Lord. And as they were presenting Jesus, as any God-fearing parents would in their time, something else happens. This normal family has another sign of something. Because Simeon came to Mary and Joseph to see this child, Jesus. And Simeon says to the Lord and to them, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and glory for your people, Israel." Simeon came and confessed this to Mary and Joseph. For Simeon had the Holy Spirit upon him. He talked about the promise that this child was, not just for himself, for he was promised to see the Christ before he would pass away. But Simeon proclaimed what the promised Savior would do, of how Jesus was going to be the one for God's plan for redemption. So instead of Mary and Joseph presenting Jesus to the Lord, through Simeon, the Lord was presenting to Mary and Joseph what Jesus would do. And Mary and Joseph, who already knew that this small child was the Son of God, it says that they were amazed, amazed at what Simeon told them, amazed at what this child would do. And from here, the Holy Family goes back to live their lives, to go back to the town of Galilee, to the town of Nazareth. And we don't have many stories of Jesus as a child, but can be seen through what we have, that the Holy Family held to the promises of God, trusting in them and believing them to be true. For Mary and Joseph loved Jesus as their child and cared for him. Joseph brought Mary and Jesus to Egypt to protect him from Herod's laws, and they did their duties of raising him, of taking him to the temple to hear God's word. They did lose Jesus once, which is a little concerning, but they did their best. Because we know that's what families are meant to do their best all the days of their lives. And we in this world think of what our family should be, that a family should try its best. And the Bible paints a picture for what a family is. A mother and father raising a child whom they love and care for, taking it to where God's word is preached to them so that it can grow in their faith. And these parents are tasked with raising the child so that it's not only spiritually healthy, but physically and mentally healthy too, to do their best. And we know that some people are blessed to have a happy family that they can go to for love and support, and that they can trust for all their needs to be taken care of. But we also know that we live in a broken and sinful world, in a world where even in the happiest of families, people get hurt, where families fight, argue, and hurt one another. But we also know in this world there are families that are truly broken, where there are families that are abusive, where parents are absent, where children are neglected, and where families are filled with hatred. Which means that even the example of Mary and Joseph as a loving family can be hard to picture. Hard to picture that loving family that is meant to have, because the sinful world is broken, and it's hard to move past their experiences. But I want to invite you guys today to move away from the idea of your own family. And instead, I want us to look around at those gathered with us here in the church today. For when you look, I want you to see that you are surrounded by your brothers and sisters in Christ. I want you to think about what it means to be part of the church. For the church is where you become a part of the loving family of God. For God invites all people to come to him. And it's through the waters of the baptismal font where we are washed of water and God's promises. And through that promise, we become the sons and daughters of God. And like Mary and Joseph, we become part of that holy family with God as our heavenly Father, with Jesus as our brother. And through this family, we are given the gift of eternal life that was won for us by Jesus on the cross. For we receive the revelation of who Jesus was, as Simeon announced. We are welcomed into the family of Israel, of God's promised people, and given the promise of God's grace in these baptismal waters. So then comes the task of being the holy family. We aren't tasked with being the mother of Jesus like Mary, or being Jesus's earthly father like Joseph, but we are called to be brothers and sisters of Christ, called to be his family, because God chose each and every one of us to be his home. And I want to have you look back to remember the baptisms that we've had here at Trinity, because it's not just the child, it's not just the adult who's participating in that baptism. It's not just the parents, the sponsors, or the godparents, but it's the congregation as a whole takes part in the baptism. We witness the adoption into God's family of a new brother or sister in Christ each baptism. And as we do that, Pastor announces the baptism, and we rejoice as their siblings, and we welcome them with love and carry them in our prayers for their lives. For God continues to bless us day by giving us the family that we have at this church. Brothers and sisters in Christ, to walk alongside, to journey through our life of faith with. And we gather here at this church to hear God's word, to come, to pray for each other, and support one another in their faith. And then, like the Holy Family, God continues to bless his family of the church through the means of being taken care of. And this is why God blesses his family, the church, with pastors. And we here at Trinity are lucky to have Pastor Melky as our pastor, as our spiritual father on this earth. For a pastor is the man who guides his family, the family of church, a man who is called by God to love and care for his own. For God knows that a family needs guidance. And through the pastor's work, God continues to strengthen our faith through the word of God that is preached, through the word of God that is read, and through the sacraments of baptism, which welcomes new members to the family, and through the sacrament of the altar, which is the family table of church, where we come to receive the body and blood of God. And it's forth through these that God works with the Holy Spirit to strengthen the faith of the church. For it is through God's word that we are always pointed towards the cross of Christ, whose arms are stretched out for us to welcome us into his family, to welcome us into his grace, and to save us from our sins. Then, like the Holy Family, let's be ready to believe in God's promises that we hear through his words. Let us hear about God's words of his promises of salvation, his plan for redemption, and his love for us. Let us be ready, like Mary and Joseph. Let us be willing to turn our lives to God, to trust his word, and join in his family. Then this week, I want to challenge you that as we pray the prayers of this church, I want you to sit and to listen to them, reflect on them, and then carry them with you and pray them yourselves this week. Because the prayers that are offered here are prayed for the family of ourselves, the family of this church. I want us to reflect on the family that God has given us, how God has blessed us with his church, and focus on that, to the promise of baptism to this church, that God has welcomed us into this family. And so let us go out from here today with the same dedication of the Holy Family of Mary and Joseph for the love that they had for Jesus, to trust in God's word for his words of his family, and to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, and to always look to these outstretched arms of Jesus on the cross, welcoming his family to him. Amen. Now may the grace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds steadfast in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen. And now as one family, let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.